This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 264. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Don't open that box, Pandora. Bruce stops in for a bite. Heaven's not all it's cracked up to be. Aw yeah, Kickstarter. And a news wrap-up. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, July 7th, 2013. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs. Or you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
And you can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Like us at facebook.com/sfppn. Follow us on Twitter @sfppn. Or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Trinity of Sin, Pandora Number 1 by Fox and Sam Pair. This is a prequel to the Trinity War crossover that is pretty well imminent.
Is there going to be a number 2, or was this a one-shot?
I believe this is an ongoing.
Okay.
That's the impression I got.
At least through the Trinity War?
Yeah. She was actually introduced back in Flashpoint. And I like the idea that Flashpoint is becoming more of something that's in this continuity and not just a throwaway event that's now to be forgotten.
Well, Flashpoint actually supposedly caused this, didn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly.
So maybe they are starting to leak things in so they can bring back some other concepts.
It seems like it. Pandora was then seen in the background of the early New 52 titles. She'd be seen like in a crowd scene or something. And then she appeared in last year's Free Comic Book Day book. So now we actually get her origin going back to 8000 BCE, where a cave woman finds this golden skull and accidentally releases the seven evils upon the world. And then we cut back to the Rock of Eternity, basically the same scene as from the Free Comic Book Day book, where the Council of Shazam finds her guilty.
Which just seems ridiculous. How is she guilty?
Exactly, because it literally, she releases it accidentally and immediately is found guilty. She's made immortal, so she can see the evil throughout time. She tries to warn people, then trains to fight these evils. The council, at least one of the members, returns and then apologizes to her 10,000 years later.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guy.
And tells her she has to find the skull in order to stop the evil. And she decides she needs help to do this, and she'll get help from the heroes, which cues Trinity War.
Are you excited about Trinity War?
I'm interested in seeing what's going to happen after, because they're indicating major changes to the various Justice League teams.
But of course, you know, they always indicate major changes to things, and then we generally get status quo after a while.
Yeah, we'll see. Legends of the Dark Knight number 10 by Tishman and Sprouse. So this is a single story from the digital run. Generally, this book is 3 or 4 stories, but it's all one story. And it's kind of food TV meets the DCU.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce discovers this man who is killing and then eating people. It turns out he's like a sous chef.
Well, except the original person wasn't a sous chef, was he? It was some guy that was in a plane wreck.
Right.
And then the guy accidentally or had to eat the sous chef or something.
Right. And he has the ability to absorb the knowledge and abilities of those he eats. So he's become a chef as well. Bruce, for whatever reason, knows a lot about gastronomy. He knows about these restaurants. Oh, and I really like the thing there, and they really make that nice. Because Bruce knows everything.
He does. He's very intelligent. That's, you know, and he's a man of all trades, a Renaissance man.
So he tries to catch the guy as Bruce, but ends up getting kidnapped. I think his plan was to just gather information, but it doesn't go well.
Yes.
And he has to stop the guy from eating Bruce, and in doing so would learn his secrets and learn who Batman is.
Well, and he doesn't even have to eat very much of
him. Yeah, any of you.
Yeah.
And you get that ability. So apparently permeating through all the cells of our body are all our memories.
Well, that's a common conceit, though.
Yeah. It ends up forcing the guy to eat his own finger, you, and that puts him in a catatonic state.
But that keeps everybody from knowing that Bruce was able to fight back so well.
Right. It's rather a grotesque story for this title, I thought.
I can see kids really liking that.
Oh, yeah, I suppose. Trinity of Sin, The Phantom Stranger, number 10, by De Matteis and Blanco. Notice the new prefix has been added to this title to match up with the Pandora title. And we assume there's going to be a possible question title at some point because he's the third member of the Trinity of Sin. So this dog, possibly God, leads the stranger out of hell and into heaven and gives him the chance to save one and only one of his family. And of course, his family was killed by this guy who then...
Well, the guy used to be their husband and father before
right.
the Phantom Stranger took over this guy's life.
Yes. He figured out that this guy was actually going to kill the family. He stops him from doing so, which creates all these other problems. And Heaven is trying to make everything right by saying, well, this family's still supposed to die. So they, at this point...
And they're supposed to be in heaven.
They're supposed to be in heaven. He also happens to find the babysitter who was also killed when his family was murdered. Zoriel arrives and escorts him. Now, I don't know if this is the same Zoriel as the Zoriel from the 1990s JLA. I don't know.
Well, it's not in the sense that nobody is
right.
the same.
Right.
But I'm sure it's based on the same character. It would be hard not to be.
Sure. And then we get this great painted double splash page of various religious icons as they're wandering through heaven. He decides finally to defy God and take all the family back with him, not just one of them. His wife refuses because they're happy there and they don't want to go and they think this is how it's supposed to be. And so he ends up choosing the babysitter to be saved as God had intended.
Because the babysitter was never destined to die at the hands of this mass murderer.
He was just an innocent bystander, essentially. Now, this title seems out of place in the current DCU. It really would have fit well, as I mentioned, in the late 90s when Zorro was in JLA and Spectre was the Angel of Vengeance. There was a big push for religious references in the late 90s. I think this was a response to Spawn over in at Image Comics.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this is more of a return to that time, or just this one writer wants to go back to that time. I don't know. Aw Yeah Comics, number 1-3, from Thrillbent, by Baltazar Franco Arorelli and Smits. So this was a Kickstarter project that Mindy invested in, which has now borne fruit.
Well, I did because you love these guys.
Yeah.
They're Tiny Titans guys.
Exactly. So we just received the first three issues this week in the mail. And this is an all-ages comic that they've put together based on a Kickstarter campaign. As you mentioned, similar to Tiny Titans' work, except now it's original characters. And the original characters being Action Cat and Adventure Bug, which are apparently logos or mascots created for the local comic book shop in Skokie that Balthazar runs.
So it would be maybe not unreasonable to expect to see the Pack Rat comic rat show.
Exactly. Now, they're very cute stories. The whole thing's told very tongue-in-cheek. And it looks as professional as what you'd see from the majors. You know, sometimes independent comics have varying levels of quality.
Yes.
But this was looked very professional. It's certainly as good as stuff you'd see from Bongo or Dark Horse, I would say. Now, this is going to be a 6-issue miniseries, as I understand it, to start.
I think it went to 12 issues,
oh, now,
didn't
okay.
it? Because of...
They made their stretch goals.
Stretch goals.
Yeah. And this was a great Kickstarter investment. It's also something to think about as you're saying, boy, I'd like to see more original or different comics. go check out Kickstarter and see what kind of campaigns there are out there, because there are a lot of them for various comic books.
Right. And I'm pretty sure you can get these comic books in the regular fashion, too.
Right. And I believe the Comics is supposed to be out. I don't know if it's hit the stores yet, but I think it's supposed to as of San Diego.
Right.
And then after that, you should be able to order them or get them from your local store. All right, let's cover some industry news. There were 6 new Vertigo titles announced that'll start in October.
Well, we were wrong about Vertigo.
Yeah, things were looking pretty grim over there, and they really needed a boost, and this is it. And I think they're trying to time this with Gaiman's new Sandman miniseries come out at the same time, so when people go and pick that up, they're like, and here's these other ones.
Right, and there are a couple I'm really looking forward to.
There's Hinterkind by Edgington and Trifolgi. It's a post-apocalyptic story.
Another post-apocalyptic story!
Exactly. The Discipline by Milligan and Fernandez, a supernatural erotic thriller.
I'm less enthused about that.
Yeah. Dead Boy Detectives by Litt and Buckingham. And, of course, these are the characters from the Sandman title. And the idea is they're two boys who were detectives, and then they were killed, and now they're ghosts, but they're still playing detective. Suiciders by Bernejo, and this is a story about futuristic boxing. Coffin Hill by Kitteridge and Miranda, about magic and murder. And I believe Kitteridge is the author of some young adult novels today.
I wouldn't doubt that, but I couldn't tell you.
Right. And then there's going to be a Witching Hour one-shot anthology. And they've done several of those over at Vertigo. So this is just another one of those.
Go Vertigo!
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to that. Justice League 3000 was announced by DeMatteis, Giffen, and Maguire, the team that brought you the JLI Bwahaha era. And this is set in the 31st century. So the question then is, what happens to the Legion of Superheroes, which is currently in that same time period? It's unclear what's going to happen, whether the Legion is now gone, or is this later in the same century, or are these characters actually Legion members who, for whatever reason, decide to become a different group?
Well, they could be like older Legion of Superheroes members, because they always tend to keep those Legion kids pretty young.
Right. But the concept artwork that they've put out pretty much indicates they're trying to be descendants of the Magnificent Seven, essentially. There are cases in the Legion of the Superheroes history where you could say, well, that's kind of like Superman and that's kind of like Wonder Woman. And so maybe they're going to take some of these existing characters and rename them. We don't know. And we won't know for a couple months on that. There was also a Superman Wonder Woman ongoing title announced by Soul and Daniel. And maybe we'll finally see this relationship that was supposed to change the DCU forever and really didn't, because it was barely referenced.
Well, and I kind of agree with Batman that nobody wants to see Superman and Wonder Woman together, because they'll be too powerful and you'll have to take them out.
But I think it's an interesting route to go down to see what happens with that. And the fact that it's barely been referenced in the Wonder Woman title, it's only been referenced maybe once or twice in the Superman titles. It's mostly been in Justice League, and even then, not very much.
Well, you know, I sort of consider the Wonder Woman comic to be completely out of the continuity of the rest of the DC universe.
It certainly seems to be.
It may be that everything that's happening in there is happening in a 2-month period between other things or something.
Right.
But it certainly does not relate to the rest of the DC universe at all. And so I just read it as though it's not a part.
That's probably a good plan. So we also heard about Son of Batman, a Damian one-shot set in the future by Andy Kubert. And they're making it clear this is not an Elseworlds. This is, quote, a possible future that may never be. It pretty much sounds like Andy Kubert was contracted for this job before Grant Morrison killed off Damian.
Yes. I think so.
That this maybe was supposed to come out years ago or something. Boom Studios acquired the Arkea publisher, and Arkea had money issues because they tried at one point to split from publishing through Diamond, and that didn't work. So they're back, but they had so many money problems because of that. Boom Studios was able to take them over, and that involves Mouse Guard, Tale of Sand, the Jim Henson books, and apparently there's several movie options for the Arkea books underway. Of course, whether options ever become actual movies, that's actually a pretty rare event.
Well, good for Boom.
Mm-hmm. And the May numbers are in for DC. Not that good. DC overall is down 18% from 1 year ago. The DC Universe books are down 27%, but Vertigo is up 81%.
Wow.
Some of the books. Number two, Batman at 129,000 copies. Number three, Justice League, 97,000 copies. And again, this is out of the top 300 per Diamond Comics. Number 10 was Detective at 78,000. Number 12, JLA at 77,000. Number 19, Green Lantern at 67,000. 21, Batman and Robin / Red Hood at 65,000. Number 40, The Wake from Vertigo, 44,000, the best-selling Vertigo book in 10 years.
Why do you think that that one is selling so well?
Snyder.
Oh, okay.
It's all Snyder, guaranteed. Because the book itself is okay, but it's nothing incredible.
Well, it's only had two issues so far.
Right, so that was
it?
The first issue.
Uh-huh.
So I'm curious to see how The Wake does in the second issue. Number 74, The Movement, 29,000. And this is a brand new book. Number 77, Green Team, 27,000.
I think it's really hard to make a team book work when there's all new characters on the team.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Green Team better than I like the Movement.
So do I. Number 150, JLA's Vibe, 14,000. Oops, I don't see that lasting much longer. Number 161, Batwing at 13,000. This is the lowest selling DC Universe title that hasn't already been announced for cancellation. And it's been this way for a long time. Why hasn't this been canceled? I just don't get it. It's clearly not clicking with people. Number 234, Unwritten, down to 8,200 copies. Carey has stated there's a predetermined ending point, meaning he knows how he's going to end the story.
Now, I have to say, even though this one is low on the list, they're probably making up for that in the collections.
Oh, sure. Well, that's true of most of the Vertigo stuff. All right, before we get out of here, it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Okay, Mark, are you ready to guess?
I'm ready.
All right, I'm going to press the button.
TV related?
Yes.
Is it some sort of list issue?
Yes.
Okay. So is it like top 10? Is it related to a number?
Yes.
Okay. So, is it the top 100?
Yes.
Okay. The top 100, is it related to specific, are the things in the list people?
Well, no.
Okay. Are they shows?
Yes.
Okay, so they're shows and maybe movies?
Yes.
So they're fictional properties?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
And other things.
And other things. So it's a list of 100. So it's 100 top something.
Yeah.
Is it related to money?
No.
Okay.
Maybe it's not singular.
Not singular. So each of the things could be multiple. You're saying.
I'm saying maybe there's multiple lists.
Oh, multiple lists. Oh, okay. So, the top, is it like 10, top 10 lists?
You were right with your numbers before.
Okay, 100.
Uh-huh.
Okay, 100 of the, it's not related to money, is it some sort of power thing?
No.
Okay.
I just don't know how to give you any more clues.
Okay.
I've already practically told you what it was.
Is there music involved? Okay,
mm-hmm.
So it's the top 100 cool things in summer.
No. I'll tell you. You're out of time.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you the topic, and then I'm going to make you try to guess some of the things on the cover.
Yeah.
It's the 100 all-time greatest movies, TV shows, albums, novels, and more. So it's the top 100 greatest of everything.
Of all time ever.
Yes. So there are 10 things on the cover. Can you guess one of them?
Harry Potter?
No.
Twilight?
No.
Sopranos?
No. Wait. Yeah, there is a Soprano on the cover.
I think.
So there is Tony Soprano on the cover.
Okay.
I assume he's TV shows number 5 is what it says.
Okay. Top of all time. Buffy.
No. Although she did make the top 10 of the TV list, but she's not on the cover.
Okay, so movie-wise, let's see, would be Star Wars.
No. All right, are you ready to give up?
Yes.
It's Janet Leigh from Psycho, The Cosby Show, The Wizard of Oz, Gone with the Wind, South Park, Seinfeld, Mary Tyler Moore, Pulp Fiction, and I think Kurt Cobain.
It sounds like the Entertainment Weekly editors
albums.
Just did a bunch of Google searches on top 10 things and just wrote an article about it.
Yeah, I think pretty much, yeah. They probably ran out of things to talk
We're
about.
We're tired. And
they needed a big double issue.
And
so.
Yeah. And we want to take some vacation time, so we're going to slap this thing together.
Okay.
All right. I want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.